ಶನಕೇರ್ ಭಗವಲ್ಲೋಕಾನ್ ನೃಲೋಕಂ ಪುನರಾಗತಃ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಜ್ಯ ನೇತ್ರೆ ವಿದುರಾಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಾಹೋದ್ಧವ ಉತ್ಸ್ಮಯನ್. ಶನಕೆ ಗ್ರ್ಯಾಜುಯಲಿ ಭಗವತ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಲೋಕಾತ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ದಿ ಅಬೋಡ್ ನೃಲೋಕಂ ದ ಪ್ಲಾನೆಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಪುನಃ ಆಗತಃ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ವಿಮ್ರಜ್ಯ ವೈಪಿಂಗ್ ನೇತ್ರೆ ಐಸ್ ವಿದುರಂ ಅಂಟು ವಿದುರ ಪ್ರೀತ್ಯ ಇನ್ ಅಫೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಆಹ ಸೆಡ್ ಉದವ ಉದವ ಉತ್ಸ್ಮಯನ್ ಬೈ ಆಲ್ ದೋಸ್ ರಿಮೆಂಬರೆನ್ಸಸ್. ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಬೈ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್. ದ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಉದವ ಸೂನ್ ಗೇನ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ಅಬೋರ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಟು ದ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ ಪ್ಲೇನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವೈಪಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಐಸ್ ಹಿ ಅವೇಕನ್ಡ್ ಹಿಸ್ ರೆಮಿನಿಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ ಟು ವಿದುರ ಇನ್ ಅ ಪ್ಲೀಸಿಂಗ್ ಮೂಡ್. Purport. When Uddhava was fully absorbed in the transcendental ecstasy of love of God, he actually forgot all about the external world. The pure devotee lives constantly in the abode of the Supreme Lord, even in the present body, which apparently belongs to this world. The pure devotee is not exactly on the bodily plane, since he is absorbed in the transcendental thought of the Supreme. When Uddhava wanted to speak to Vidura, he came down from the abode of the Lord, Dwaraka, to the material plane of human beings. Even though a pure devotee is present on this mortal planet, he is here in relation to the Lord for engagement in transcendental loving service and not for any material cause. A living entity can live either on the material plane or in the transcendental abode of the Lord in accordance with his existential condition. The conditional changes of the living entity are explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the instructions given to Srila Rupa Goswami by Lord Sri Chaitanya. The living entities all over the universes are enjoying the effects of the respective fruits of their own work, life after life. Out of all of them, some may be influenced by the association of pure devotees and thus get the chance to execute devotional service by attainment of taste. This taste is the seed of devotional service, and one who is fortunate enough to have received such a seed is advised to sow it in the core of his heart. As one cultivates a seed by pouring water to fructify it, the seed of devotional service sown in the heart of the devotee may be cultured by pouring water in the form of hearing and chanting of the holy name and pastimes of the Lord. The creeper of devotional service, so nourished, gradually grows, and the devotee, acting as a gardener, goes on pouring the water of constant hearing and chanting. The creeper of devotional service gradually grows so high that it passes through the entire material universe and enters into the spiritual sky, growing still higher and higher until it reaches the planet Goloka Vrindavan. The devotee gardener is in touch with the abode of the Lord, even from the material plane, by dint of performing devotional service to the Lord, simply by hearing and chanting. As a creeper takes shelter of another, the stronger tree, similarly the creeper of devotional service, nourished by devotee, takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and thus becomes fixed. When the creeper is fixed, then the fruit of the creeper comes into existence, and the gardener who nourished it is able to enjoy this fruit of love, and his life becomes successful. That Uddhava attained this stage is evident from his dealings. He would simultaneously reach the supreme planet and still appear in this world. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam ಮುಖಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಯತೆ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯತ್ ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ದೀನತಾರಿಣಂ ವಾಂಛಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯೈವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. So today we are reading chapter 2 of Canto 3. This chapter is entitled as Remembrance of Lord Krishna. And Canto 3 began. The first chapter was entitled Questions by Vidura. So this canto has begun with a conversation between Vidura and Uddhava, two great devotees, two very advanced devotees of the Lord. In the previous chapter, Vidura has met Uddhava and he is asking lots of questions to the Lord. And now in this chapter, Uddhava is going to start answering all these questions. But before we hear about Uddhava's answers to all the questions, Sukadeva Goswami is describing to Parikshit Maharaj some of the emotions or some of the bhava that Uddhava is going through when he heard questions about Lord Krishna. So his state of mind is being described in the first few verses, that how he immediately went into ecstasy. All his bodily symptoms changed when he was questioned by Vidura about the glories of Lord Krishna. And he was displaying the highest emotions, the highest ecstasy of pure love of Godhead. And Prabhupada says in the purport that Uddhava had assimilated pure love of Godhead is evident from all his bodily symptoms. So he had closed his eyes and he had actually reached Golok Dwarka, where his eternal possession is there. And he was with the Lord over there, even though he was present on the earth on the banks of Yamuna in front of Vidura. But he had actually reached Dwarka and he was with the Lord in his abode. And in order to answer Vidura's questions, he actually brought himself back from that ecstasy, from that position which he had reached, so that he can start conversing with Vidura. So this is evident that Uddhava is a pure devotee of the Lord. He has reached the Prema Bhakti platform. Otherwise, such symptoms are not possible for any devotee to manifest. He is actually feeling separation from the Lord, and he will start describing that in the next verse. In fact, the first verse, first answer which he gives to Uddhava is that the Lord has left this planet, the next verse after this verse. And he's feeling, he's aggrieved. He's saying the sun has set. What is the use of living when Lord Krishna is no longer there on this planet? So he's extremely aggrieved and he's feeling separation from Lord Krishna. And in that separation, he's feeling all these symptoms in his body. Just by remembering Lord Krishna, these symptoms are coming up. So why such symptoms are coming up? It's not only because Uddhava is a pure devotee of the Lord, but it's also because another pure devotee is present before him, who is Vidura, and who is asking Uddhava to talk about Lord Krishna. So these are the dealings between pure devotees. Vidura himself is an exalted devotee, and because of his questions to Uddhava, he is able to elicit such a response from Uddhava, and he is able to elicit such emotions from Uddhava. So two devotees, when they have, you know, this exchanges about Lord Krishna, when they discuss Krishna Katha, then these are the symptoms that manifest in those devotees. So even Vidura actually is feeling separation. It will become evident from the next few verses that he is also feeling separation from the Lord. And that is why in the previous chapter, he is asking all about the Lord. He is asking, how is my Lord doing? How are his family members doing? And he is asking about each and every person with whom the Lord has had associated. About the Pandavas, about Bhishma, like so many questions he is asking. Because he is also feeling separation from the Lord. He has got this feeling that the Lord has left the planet. And therefore he has come to Uddhava for some solace and to pacify his mind by hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam is actually a narration. It's a narration on different levels. It's a narration between different people. So the primary narrator of Srimad Bhagavatam is Sukadev Goswami, as we know. And the primary hearer of Srimad Bhagavatam is Parikshit Maharaj. But there are also some other conversations where, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam is being spoken. There is also Suta Goswami, who heard the Srimad Bhagavatam when he was also sitting in the assembly with Parikshit Maharaj. And now he is narrating the Srimad Bhagavatam to the sages of Naimisharanya. Then also there is one more parallel conversation going on between Vidura and Maitreya Muni. So actually the third canto begins like this. Parikshit Maharaj is asking Sukadeva Goswami that you had mentioned that Vidura had gone and asked Maitreya Muni about the glories of Lord Krishna. So how come they met? Where is it that they met, these two devotees? Please give me more details about it. Because Maitreya Muni himself is a pure devotee and he must have talked so much about the topics of Lord. So where did these two devotees meet? And in answer to that question, of Parikshit Maharaj, Sukhadeva Goswami first describes the meeting between Vidura and Uddhava. So that is the sequence in which the Bhagavatam has started in the third canto. So before Vidura goes and meets Maitreya Muni, Vidura has actually met Uddhava. So the background to this is that Vidura was actually driven away from the palace by Duryodhana. Now Vidura was a trusted minister in his brother Dhritarashtra's palace. He was the most trusted minister and he was very intelligent. So he used to give very good counsel and he was the best well-wisher of Dhritarashtra, although Dhritarashtra did not realize this. So he used to give very good counsel to Vidura, to Dhritarashtra. He used to tell him whatever, he had to balance his role very well. So he was the well-wisher of the Pandavas, but he was also the well-wisher of Dhritarashtra. And he knew what Dhritarashtra is doing is not right. So at every instance, he used to try and give good counsel to Dhritarashtra. And he somehow used to try and save the Pandavas from all the trouble that Duryodhana was putting them through, using Dhritarashtra as an instrument. So Vidura is actually in the court of Dhritarashtra. And he has tolerated so far, you know, the lac house thing happened, how the Duryodhana had planned to burn down all the Pandavas in the house of lac. And Vidura comes to know and he's horrified. So he actually secretly sends a message to all the Pandavas that you all need to dig a tunnel and you all need to move out of this palace, otherwise you all are going to be burnt. So at every instance, he somehow or the other tries to save the Pandavas. But at one point, it was getting too much. Because when Krishna also came with a message, peace message, Duryodhana did not accept. And then Vidura was in the court and again there were plans being made of how to squash the Pandavas and how to not give them anything. So at one stage, Vidura actually tells Dhritarashtra, and this happened in the previous chapter, he tells Dhritarashtra that you are actually having offense personified in your house. Although he is your son, but he is going to be the cause of the downfall of your dynasty. So I would suggest you please remove him from your court and you send him away, you banish him. Otherwise the entire dynasty, Kuru dynasty, will be destroyed. But Dhritarashtra was extremely attached to Duryodhana. So it is mentioned, Prabhupada mentions in so many purports that not only was Dhritarashtra materially blind, he was also spiritually blind. He did not heed the advice of Vidura. In so many different cases, Vidura gave him advice. Please get rid of Duryodhana, he is going to be the cause of your downfall. But Dhritarashtra was too attached. And also Duryodhana was where he knew he was exploiting this attachment of Dhritarashtra for him. So every time Duryodhana, he wanted to get something done through Dhritarashtra, who was the king, he used to threaten Dhritarashtra that I will go and commit suicide if you don't fulfill my wish. That is how Duryodhana had kept Dhritarashtra on tenterhooks. And that is how he used to ungli pe nachana, we say in Hindi. He used to make Dhritarashtra dance on his fingers. And Dhritarashtra was so attached to his son that he was not able to think rationally. He was not able to take any decisions based on dharma. And Vidura used to continuously tell Dhritarashtra that what you are doing is adharma. You are the king of Hastinapur. You are the king of the planet. So this is not the way a king behaves. He has to actually represent dharma. He is representing the Supreme Lord. And it is his duty to establish dharma in the kingdom. But what you are doing is completely adharmic. But Dhritarashtra did not heed advice. And actually Vidura gave all this advice to Dhritarashtra in the presence of Duryodhana. So Duryodhana was so upset. He was so angry that Vidura is speaking against him, because nobody used to dare to speak the truth in front of Duryodhana. Everyone was extremely scared of Duryodhana. But Vidura was a sage. He was like a saint. And the duty of saints is to cut the knot. They are very cutting. So he was not afraid to speak the truth. And he said, Duryodhana is offense personified, drive him away. And on hearing this, it is described that Duryodhana's nostrils flared up. And he was so angry that he insulted Vidura in front of all the ministers, in front of everyone who was present in the court. And he said that, who is this man who is trying to give advice to my father? He is nothing but he is the son of a kept mistress, a kept maid servant. This is how he insulted Vidura. And what position he has to come and sit here and sit in the king palace of the king, in the court of the king, and give advice? He has no position, because he is just the son of a maid servant. And then he says that drive this man away from this court and leave him nothing but his breath. So let him take nothing with him but his breath. This is the way he insults Vidura, and this is the way he actually drives Vidura out of the court. Such a big offense to a pure devotee of the Lord. But Vidura again did not retaliate at all. He was actually a grahastha. He had his wife, he had his family also over there in Hastinapur. But he absolutely did not retaliate. He understood that this is the will of the Lord. That this is what Lord Krishna wants him to do. And he's just using Duryodhana as an instrument. This was Vidura's thinking. So he immediately left. He was actually very aggrieved that Duryodhana is doing like this to him. But he immediately left the palace. And he kept his bow and arrow at the doorstep of the palace and he went out, taking nothing with him, absolutely. So he saw this was the will of the Lord and he saw two things in this, two advantages or two benefits of this situation which was actually not very favorable. He thought that the Lord has arranged this, first of all, so that he does not have to participate in the war. Because if he would have to participate in the war, then he would have had to take side of Duryodhana. Like Bhishma Pitama and everyone were forced to take the side of Duryodhana. And it actually saved him from that offense of taking the side of Duryodhana and being against the Pandavas, on the opposite side of Pandavas and Krishna. So that was one benefit he saw. And the second benefit he saw was that he can utilize this time to go on pilgrimage to different holy places all over India. So he actually did that. Vidura started traveling all over the Bharat Bhumi and he started going to different holy places. And there is a description given of which different holy places he visits. And he visits different holy rivers also. And every holy place he visits, he was constantly remembering Lord Krishna and he was constantly hearing about Lord Krishna from different devotees that were there in those holy places. And during that travel, he comes to the banks of Yamuna and there he happens to meet Uddhava, who is the cousin of Lord Krishna. So Vidura is the uncle of Lord Krishna and Uddhava is the cousin of Lord Krishna. So that is how the meeting of Vidura and Uddhava takes place. And then he sits down on the banks of Yamuna and he knows that Uddhava is a close associate of Lord Krishna. So he will be the right person to actually advise me or to actually give me, narrate the glories of Lord Krishna to me. So this is how he met Uddhava on the banks of the Yamuna and that is how this conversation between Vidura and Uddhava started. And once this conversation between Vidura and Uddhava is over, Uddhava will actually tell him. Because we remember that originally Sukhadeva Goswami was asked by Parikshit Maharaj about the conversation between Maitreya and Vidura, that how did they meet? And before that is described, Sukhadeva Goswami is describing this meeting between Vidura and Uddhava. So after Uddhava has spoken to Vidura and he has answered all his questions, after that he tells Vidura, that actually when Lord Krishna was leaving the planet, Maitreya Muni and myself, we were the last people to be with Lord Krishna when he was leaving the planet. And he spoke to both of us. So not only to me has he narrated his last instructions, but also to Maitreya Muni. And therefore now it is advisable that you go to Maitreya Muni, who is not far from here, and you go and hear glories about Lord Krishna from Maitreya Muni. And then Vidura goes to Maitreya Muni and then there are chapters and chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam which are a conversation between Maitreya Muni and Vidura. And there is a very nice quality which comes out of Uddhava in this dealing. And Prabhupada explains that in the purports. Prabhupada says that this is actually what is called as Maryada Vratikrama, Vaishnava etiquette. That Uddhava is actually directing Vidura to a much more advanced, like much more senior devotee, because Maitreya is of course much more senior in age. So he is actually directing Vidura to a much more advanced and senior devotee and he is telling that I have spoken up to my realizations but now you please go and hear from Maitreya Muni who is much more advanced and who has much more assimilated Lord Krishna's instructions. So now you further go and hear from him. And Prabhupada says that this is Vaishnava etiquette. To honor and respect advanced devotees and to give all glories to advanced devotees is not just a detail of Vaishnava life. It is actually the essence of Vaishnava life. It is actually what Vaishnavas are supposed to do. It's not just one of the details which people have to follow, which devotees have to follow. Glorifying other devotees and actually giving honor and respect to senior devotees and not speaking like that is Maryada Vratikrama. If some senior devotees are present and you know you keep speaking and you don't allow the senior devotees to speak on their realizations. So Uddhava therefore directs him to Maitreya Muni and then the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya Muni starts. So we'll discuss a little bit about Uddhava and what is Uddhava's special position in Lord Krishna's life. So Uddhava is actually one of the most intimate associates of Lord Krishna outside of Vrindavan. If we consider all the devotees of Dwaraka and Mathura, Uddhava was the closest. He actually ate with Krishna. He was constantly with Krishna, 24/7. He actually ate with Krishna. He slept with Krishna wherever Krishna went. He had intimate talks with Krishna. They used to go on walks together. So much so that Krishna used to actually call Uddhava and ask his counsel whenever there were some important decisions to be taken, or whenever there were some political decisions to be taken, or how to, you know, if there is some enemy approaching, or there are some rajniti, we say, some different aspects of political kingdom life. So actually Lord Krishna used to call Uddhava. Now is it that Lord Krishna is bewildered, that is why he has to take counsel of Uddhava? No, actually Lord Krishna is not bewildered. Now some say that it is that Lord Krishna is pretending to be bewildered so that he can glorify Uddhava and he can take his counsel. But actually that is also not true. In order to glorify his own devotees, Lord Krishna actually allows himself to get bewildered so that then he can have this intimate dealings with his pure devotees, where he can glorify them by actually asking counsel from them, where he can have this intimate exchange with them, and he can show that he is dependent on his pure devotees. So this is what Lord Krishna was showing through his dealings with Uddhava, by actually taking counsel from him. So this was the position of Uddhava. And even in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there is mention of Uddhava. So we know in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Narad Muni is searching for the best devotee of the Lord, or the devotee of the Lord who has received the greatest mercy of Lord Krishna. And he goes from devotee to devotee. Like he goes to one devotee and that devotee directs him to the other devotee, saying that I am not the greatest recipient, that devotee is the greatest recipient. Like that, Narad Muni is sent to different devotees. And then when he comes to the Pandavas, and the Pandavas, he says that, you know, y'all are so glorious. Lord Krishna has spent so much time with y'all. He was your friend. He was your well-wisher. He actually became a chariot driver for y'all. So Narad Muni is glorifying the Pandavas. And he's saying that y'all received so much mercy of Lord Krishna. And then the Pandavas say that, no, 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 it is not us. Actually, Lord Krishna left us and went away after the battle of Kurukshetra was over. But it is actually the Yadavas who received the greatest mercy of Lord Krishna. So in this way, the Pandavas sent Narad Muni to the Yadavas, saying that, claiming that Yadavas are the more have received more mercy of Krishna. And then when Narad Muni comes to the Yadavas, saying, he again glorifies the Yadavas, that, oh, y'all have received so much mercy. Krishna actually took birth in your family. He actually glorified the name of your family by taking birth in your family. So who is much more fitter to be recipient of Lord Krishna's mercy than y'all? So in this way, he is glorifying the Yadavas. But again, the Yadavas tell him, tell Narad Muni that, no, it's not us actually. We have not received as much mercy as Uddhava had received. Because Yadavas had seen personally when Krishna was in Mathura as well as Krishna was in Dwarka, how much intimate Uddhava was with Krishna. So they actually sent him to Uddhava. And they direct him and they say that Uddhava was so close to Krishna that Krishna would not spend any time without Uddhava. And in fact, Krishna trusted Uddhava so much because of his intimate dealings with Uddhava and because of Uddhava's exalted position, that Krishna chose Uddhava to go to Vrindavan with his message for the gopis. This is how much Krishna trusted Uddhava. He tells Uddhava that, you please go with my message to the gopis, because the gopis are dying in separation. They are suffering in separation from me. I had promised them I'll come back, but I have not been able to go. So you please go with my message to the gopis and you pacify their aggrieved hearts. So in this way, Krishna trusted only Uddhava to go with this message. And there are many aspects to why Krishna had sent Uddhava actually to Vrindavan. So first of all, Krishna wanted to, because he trusted him, he sent him, because Uddhava was his most intimate associate in Dwarka and Mathura. Also, Krishna wanted to show Uddhava the exalted position of the gopis. So actually Uddhava goes to Vrindavan, and when Uddhava sees, he used to think that, I have so much love for Krishna in my heart. This is what Uddhava had the feeling. But when he sees the gopis and when he sees the Brajbasis, he actually realizes that his love is nothing as compared to the Brajbasis. He sees how they are dying almost every day in separation from Krishna. And in the material world, we say that time heals everything. Like if there is a loss of a family member, or if there is a loss of a loved one, Usually we say time heals everything and it happens. With time we generally overcome whatever grief we were facing when we lose our loved ones or our near and dear ones. But in Vrindavan that was not the case. It was not that as time was passing, the Vrindavans were getting used to being without Krishna among them. And they were used to carrying on their life. No, the Brijvasis were suffering from the same pain that they suffered the day Krishna left Vrindavan. Still they were in that same mood of separation from Krishna. And when Uddhava saw this, when he saw the cowherd boys, when he saw Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, when he saw the condition of the gopis, he realized that this is nothing what I had experienced and what I have, you know, been thinking about my love for Krishna in Dwarka and Mathura. But look at these Brajvasis. How exalted is their position that they are feeling so much separation from Krishna, and every moment they are awake, and whether they are awake or they are sleeping, they are thinking of Krishna. And it takes an exalted devotee to recognize another exalted devotee. And that is why Krishna had sent Uddhava. Otherwise, somebody, if he would have chosen someone else to go to Vrindavan, maybe that devotee would not have been able to recognize the position of the gopis and the position of the Brijvasis. And we wouldn't have been able to hear about their glories in Bhagavatam. But he sent Uddhava, knowing very well that Uddhava will be able to recognize this high love, the highest love which the Brijvasis have for me. And when Uddhava sees this love, he actually aspires to become a creeper, like to become grass in Vrindavan, so that the gopis and the Brajvasis and even the cowherd boys, everyone would trample on him when they move around in Vrindavan thinking of Krishna. So, and if he's actually there, his eternal position is that near Uddhav Kyari, he's present as grass in Vrindavan, and all the gopis, all the Brajvasis are trampling over that grass, which is the which is Uddhava. So it's not that Uddhava wanted, when he saw these gopis, and we say gopi bhartur padakamalayor das 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 anudas, that we follow in the footsteps of the gopis and we try to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis. But Uddhava was not just wanting to follow in the footsteps of the gopis, he actually wanted to be under the footsteps of the gopis. That is how he wanted to become a grass, so that the gopis would trample over him. So this is Uddhava's special position in the Bhagavatam, and this is how he is speaking to Lord Krishna. He is speaking to Vidura on the banks of the Yamuna, and he is narrating all about the glories of Krishna. So from the next verse onward, Uddhava will start answering the questions of Vidura, and the first thing he mentions in verse 7 is that, as I mentioned earlier, that Krishna has left the planet. So Uddhava is feeling so much separation, and when Vidura hears this, he also gets aggrieved. He is also feeling so much separation from Krishna, that, oh Lord, Krishna has left the planet. Now who is going to take care of Dharma on the planet? Now who is going to take care of the devotees who are still present on the planet? So this is the kind of conversation which Vidura and Uddhava are having. And Uddhava is feeling so much separation. And what is he doing to aggrieve his, pacify his aggrieved heart? He's actually going into the remembrance of Lord Krishna through hearing and chanting about the glories of Lord Krishna. So he is describing the different pastimes of Lord Krishna. He describes in the next verses, we will see as the chapter continues, that Uddhava is in detail answering every question of Vidura. He is mentioning how Krishna had intimate dealings in Vrindavan. Most of the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan he describes. Then he moves on to his pastimes in Mathura. How Krishna relieved the earth of the burden of Kamsa. How he saved his father Devaki and Vasudeva, how he released them from imprisonment. Then he goes on to the pastimes Krishna has in Dwarka, how with his queens, how he got his obtained his queens, all those pastimes. And then he also describes the Kurukshetra war, that how there was such a big war, because Vidura had left before the war took place. So Uddhava describes the details of the war, and he says how the entire Kuru dynasty was described, because Duryodhana did not listen, because Dhritarashtra did not listen to good advice. And then he says how most of the Kuru dynasty had died and only the Pandavas were left alive. And how Yudhishthir Maharaj was now ruling the planet under one flag. So Uddhava is describing different glories and different pastimes of Lord Krishna. And then he also describes that how after all this war is over, and how after reinstating Yudhishthir Maharaj on the throne, Krishna returns to his palace in Dwarka. And then Krishna is thinking that how he should relieve the earth from the Yadavas who were present. It was like a burden of love, Prabhupada describes, because Krishna wanted to wind up his pastimes and go back. But who will take the Yadavas back? That was Krishna's anxiety. So he actually, Uddhava describes that he actually arranges for a fratricidal war, like a war to take place among the Yadavas only. They apparently get drunk and then they fight with each other using some reeds which were actually made of iron, and they kill the entire Yadavas, Yadu dynasty gets killed through this fratricidal war. And Uddhava describes that how it was just a pastime Lord Krishna enacted so that he can take the Yadava dynasty back to the spiritual world. And after Krishna hears that the Yadavas have gone back, he then himself comes to the bank of the Saraswati river in Prabha Kshetra. And he sits down under a tree. He takes shelter under a tree. And he's sitting deep in meditation, deep in his thought. And at that time, Uddhava then comes near Lord Krishna. And Maitreya Muni also follows. And both of them are sitting. And Uddhava knows, because he was so intimately associated with Krishna, he knew that Krishna is going to wind up his pastimes and leave the planet. So he actually wanted to sit in front of Krishna and he wanted to get those last instructions from Krishna. And Krishna imparts lots of instructions. It will come in the following chapters. How much Krishna had intimate association with Uddhava, and he actually remembers Vidura also at that time, during, you know, giving his instructions to Uddhava. And when Vidura hears this from Uddhava, that Krishna had actually remembered him before leaving this planet, Vidura is so much in ecstasy. He's so much in ecstasy that my Lord still, I'm such an insignificant devotee, but my merciful Lord still remembered me before leaving this planet. So Uddhava says that I was there present before Krishna and he gave all these instructions to me. And then Maitreya Muni was also present. And therefore then after this, Uddhava instructs Vidura to go to Maitreya Muni. So we see that both Uddhava and Vidura are relieving their distress, are relieving their aggrieved heart by discussing the pastimes of Lord Krishna. They are hearing, Vidura is hearing, Uddhava is describing. So they are hearing and chanting. They are taking shelter of hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Krishna, and they are going into remembrance of Lord Krishna. And Prabhupada says that Uddhava felt the same symptoms while glorifying Lord Krishna and hearing the glorification of Lord Krishna and remembering Lord Krishna's pastimes. He felt the same symptoms that he had felt when he was actually personally present with Krishna. And Prabhupada says in the purports that this is the glory of chanting and hearing about Lord Krishna's pastimes, that you will actually be in the presence of Lord Krishna. And it is, as it mentioned in the purport also today, when you, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving instructions to Rupa Goswami. So he is saying that this seed which is sown in the heart of a devotee, the devotee needs to nourish this seed through hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Krishna. Because by hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Krishna, the devotee will not feel separation from Krishna. He will always constantly be in the presence. He will always be in the association of Krishna through hearing and chanting. And it is only this hearing and chanting which nourishes our devotional creeper and which makes our devotional creeper grow and go towards Golok Vrindavan to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. And Uddhava and Vidura both are taking shelter of this process of devotional service, of hearing and chanting. So this is actually the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us through these verses and through these dealings between pure devotees like Uddhava and Vidura that what is the real essence of spiritual life. The real essence of spiritual life is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Rupa Goswami, as mentioned in the purport, that you constantly hear and chant the glories of Lord Krishna to relieve the distress, because we are not so pure yet that we would be feeling so much separation from Lord Krishna, but even to relieve the distress of the pangs of material life, hearing and chanting is our only hope, and that is our only shelter. And that is what Uddhava is teaching by his example. And that is what Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching. That is the essence which Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us through these dealings and through these conversations. So Uddhava was not only an intimate associate of Krishna in Krishna Leela, but he again came back in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela as well. So he never leaves the side of Krishna. So as when Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Gaur Leela, Uddhava came as Paramananda Puri. Paramananda Puri was actually a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya used to give a lot of respect to him. And he used to treat him almost as his guru. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Paramananda Puri for the first time when he went on his South India Yatra. You know, for 4 months, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone to South India Yatra, and then because it was Chaturmas, he stayed in the house of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and how he had dealings with his parents. So all those pastimes are there, and during his South India Yatra, he also meets Paramananda Puri. And because he is Uddhava in Krishna Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu feels so much intimacy for Paramananda Puri that he requests him that I will be going back to Neelachal, I'll be going back to Jagannath Puri after I finish my South India tour, and I request you to please come and stay with me. I don't want to live away from you, so you please come and stay with me permanently in Neelachal, in Jagannath Puri when I go there. And actually Paramananda Puri agrees to the request of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes back to Puri, Paramananda Puri also follows over there. And he lives with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri constantly. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave so much respect and honor to Paramananda Puri, because he was the disciple of Madhavendra Puri, that whenever any invitations for Prashad used to come for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to always take Paramananda Puri with him. So he used to try and keep Paramananda Puri by his constant side, and he used to try and be in the association of Paramananda Puri constantly. That is because he is Uddhava in Krishna Leela, and they have such intimate association. So these are some of the glories of Uddhava, and the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, which Uddhava is also teaching us through these symptoms that he is showing, and through the hearing and chanting that he is doing, that how it is only hearing and chanting which will give us relief from the pangs of separation from Krishna, and which will also give us relief from the material distress that we are all in. So we can learn by Uddhava's example and take shelter of hearing and chanting of Lord Krishna and remembrance of Lord Krishna, so that we can also one day try to follow in their footsteps and reach the platform which these pure devotees like Uddhava and Vidura are like on. So we'll end here, and if there are any comments or questions. Paramananda Puri.
Second question is that Krishna is sending Uddhava to Vrindavan, but it is said that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So, what did he do? We can tell you.
The first question is, what was Paramananda Puri doing when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Venkatabhat's house when he was in South India? So, I haven't read that Paramananda Puri was living with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Venkatabhat's house. He was in South India. I think when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to one Narasimha temple, and I think that is where he meets Paramananda Puri. He was reciting Narasimha Stotra, and Paramananda Puri hears Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doing that, and he goes to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that is how they both intimately associate and with each other, and they both reunite after their Krishna Leela pastime. So, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately recognizes Paramananda Puri as an exalted devotee, and therefore he invites him to come to Jagannath Puri with him. And regarding your second question, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So we know that, you know, Krishna's pastimes go on two planes. One is the physical form of Krishna, where, you know, pastimes of Krishna take place on the physical plane, where Krishna is physically or personally present. So we know physically Krishna had left Vrindavan when he Akrura came to get him. And he goes to Mathura and kills Kamsa, and then he moves on to Dwarka. But from the purports of Srila Prabhupada, we know that Krishna actually never leaves Vrindavan. So Krishna in his original form never takes a step out of Vrindavan. But then that is his aprakat leela. In his prakat leela, he has gone. Like his Vasudev feature has already gone out of Vrindavan. But in his aprakat leela, he is still with the gopis. So the gopis actually, when they are thinking about Lord Krishna, they are remembering all the pastimes of Lord Krishna, what they used to do with Krishna and all. So in that aprakat leela, Krishna is actually still with them. And therefore the gopis are actually able to keep their lives together. They are actually able to be alive. Otherwise they would have left their bodies long ago because of the pangs of separation they were feeling from Krishna. So in his aprakat leela, he was still there in Vrindavan. But prakat leela, he had already left. Apparently he had already left Vrindavan. And therefore he sends Uddhava to more to learn about the love of the gopis. Why is there Uddhava Kund? Prabhu is asking, why is there Uddhava Kund in Vrindavan, and can we explain a bit about that? Prabhuji, to tell you frankly, I had heard during Vrindavan Yatra, but I have forgotten what was. If anybody else, Gopavrindashru, you know. Why Uddhava Kunda is there, I forgot. I had heard from one Radha Gopinath Prabhu when we sat at the banks of Uddhava Kunda. So he had given very nice class on the banks of Uddhava Kunda, and it was all about Uddhava, but I don't remember why Uddhava Kunda exists, why it came into existence. But I know that grass which Uddhava aspired to be, that was very close to Uddhava Kunda. So maybe that is why that Kunda is called as Uddhava Kunda, because Uddhava is present as grass. Very close to deity of Uddhava. Yes, deity of Uddhava was there. Yeah. Vedam Prabhu. Sorry? What does he mention there?
It just says that Maitreya Muni is not a pure devotee of the Lord, and the context, I don't know what the context.
Actually, I was listening. Prabhu is asking that is Maitreya Muni a pure devotee of the Lord, because he read somewhere in the third canto that
in the initial chapter of the third canto
that Prabhupada mentions Maitreya Muni is not a pure devotee of the Lord. When I was listening to a lecture by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, and he was mentioning that when Krishna was leaving the planet and he was sitting on the banks of the Saraswati River in Prabhas Kshetra, and when Uddhava goes there to get the last instructions from Krishna, so Maitreya Muni also comes over there, and Maharaj was mentioning that actually Krishna was talking more to Uddhava, because obviously Uddhava is much more an intimate associate of Lord Krishna than Maitreya Muni. But Maitreya Muni was present there listening to the conversation mostly between Uddhava and Krishna that was happening. And then Uddhava is the most qualified to, you know, speak to Vidura all about the glories of Lord Krishna. But still he directs him to Maitreya Muni because he is a senior sage. That is how Maharaj is explaining. So maybe you are right that Prabhupada is saying that he is not a pure devotee because he was present there to listen. But he is an exalted personality. He is a sage. So he is an exalted personality. And he was present there listening to the conversation between Uddhava and Vidura. But only because of Vaishnava etiquette, Uddhava directs him to Maitreya Muni, that he is such a senior sadhu, so you should go and hear from him. That is the explanation which Radhanath Maharaj gives. So maybe what you've read is right, probably.
When the gopis came to know that Krishna is not in this material world, he left, then what happened? Then how they tolerated this pain?
I think Krishna sends Arjuna, and they also all wind up their pastimes and go back. Yeah, they all go back. Arjuna was sent by Krishna, and all the queens were taken by Arjuna, and I, Gopabindeshu, is it correct? How do the gopis go back? Gopis. So they go back to the spiritual world. Causes the Brajvasi so much pain and suffering. So the question is, why does Krishna separate himself from the Brajvasis when he knows they are feeling so much pain and suffering from being separated from Krishna? So it's actually a very exalted question, Prabhuji. But what I've read from Prabhupada's purports and hearing different sannyasis talk about this is that there is love in unison and there is love in separation. So there is Vipralambha Rasa, which is love and separation, and that is the essence of the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. And that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually came to teach all of us, love and separation. So we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always hankering after Krishna. He was always, you know, during his pastimes in Puri, it is mentioned that even if he would see a hill, you know, an ordinary hill, he would just run and try to embrace that hill and, oh, it's Govardhan Lake, that he was always in separation of Krishna. So that is the essence which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to taught us, to teach us. And it is mentioned that love in separation or the Vipralambha Rasa is much higher than the Sambhoga Rasa, which is love in unison. Because in Vipralambha Rasa, you are, you know, that is what the gopis were experiencing when, you know, Krishna left them and went out of Vrindavan. Vipralambha Rasa was what the gopis were experiencing, and that gopis' love was actually what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach all of us. Because, and still, you know, even though they are in separation, if we compare that to the queens of Vrindavan or to the Yadavas and all in Vrindavan, sorry, in the queens of Dwarka, we see that they had much longer association with Krishna, physical association, like Sambhoga, Rasa with Krishna. But still the gopis' love is glorified as being much most exalted of all the love which is there in Madhurya Ras. The queens of Dwarka were constantly in association with Krishna. It is mentioned that Krishna used to expand himself as soon as he would go out of the court, like of his court where he would attend to the kingdom's affairs, he would expand himself into 16,108 forms, and each Krishna would go into all these palaces to be with his queens. So the queens were constantly in association with Krishna. But it is the gopis' love which is actually glorified more. So that is because Vipralamba Ras is much higher, because in that ras, you are actually constantly, your heart is constantly hankering for Krishna. So if we convert that to material plane, if something is there constantly with us in our presence, then we tend to lose the value of that thing. But when something is there, was there with us, and then it is taken away, something as pure as love of Krishna, taken away in the sense the physical presence goes away, then the heart yearns more and more. And that is how the gopi's position was. So, and as I was mentioning to Mahatma Prabhu, in his Aprakat Leela, Krishna was constantly still there with the gopis. But the gopis' love is more exalted because in separation they are able to remember Krishna more. They are able to be in much more smaranam, deeper smaranam of Krishna than people who are actually present with Krishna physically. So that is why Krishna had done that for them. That is my understanding and realization. We'll end here. It's already time up. Vantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.